She's just very inspiring, so I'm glad that we're going to get to hear her today, and I'm glad that you're here to hear her. Thank you. Thank you. So if you like to come, we just honour you.
Merci. Bonjour. Nothing against the German, but thank God for the French. Oh, Lord. But we love Germany. We love. I'm teasing. It was a French joke, actually. God is good. I bring you the greetings of Église La Bonne Nouvelle, your brothers and sisters in the south of France. And they send you their love. I've been really blessed by this conference. I really was looking forward to come and be with you. And we know that when there is a place for us to be, there are words to be heard. And I heard wonderful words during this conference. We heard about the revival. How wonderful. I was telling Greg that, you know, I heard things about the revival, and of course, you know, we want to see our churches filled, we want to see the number of believers, people coming into the kingdom of God. And but it was so refreshing, so good, stirring me up again, you know. And we heard about tongues. I mean, I don't know what I would be praying or doing without, you know, that heavenly language. I would probably be, oh God, oh, oh God. I'm, you know, I don't know if God is, you know, behind the curtain. Oh. And the verse that says, and God never sleeps, is questionable on that one, I don't know. But, no, he doesn't sleep. We heard about healing last night. And all these wonderful things, you know, some people may be saying, well, I hear it, and we heard it, praying for the revival for our city. Whoa, that requires some faith and praying for the revival for our countries. And some are like, we lost them. Like, oh my God, my country is 67 million people. And praying for our generation, but the Lord says we have to do it. And so the question is, I mean, what kind of faith does it require? So I'm going to minister along the lines of faith. And I pray that it will help you use all everything you've heard about revival, about praying in tongues, about healing, that it will kind of, you know, stir it up all together so we can do what the Lord has instructed us to do. So obviously, you heard Greg said English American, you heard English South African, and now you're going to hear English French. Be strong and courageous. The Bible says in Romans 1:17, we heard that the just shall live by faith. I mean, it's not an advice, it's just not a suggestion. It's a command, and it's like, there is no other option. We have no option if we are just, righteous. It means if we have been made right with God. We have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have accepted that His sacrifice was to put us right with God. Therefore, we now live with the life of God, or the nature of our spirit have been changed. Now we live by the life of God. And you said then, you. It means the others cannot live by faith. But you, who is a new creature, that's the way your lifestyle is by faith. By faith, we are praying for revival. By faith, we are praying in tongues. By faith, we are receiving our healing. Hebrew 11:6. So we understand that, you know, there is no place for negotiating a blessing with God. It doesn't say the just shall live by negotiation. It doesn't say the just shall live by screaming and crying and begging and complaining. It says, it's another thing, the just shall live by faith. It's a life. Hebrew 11:6. I mean, the scriptures I'm going to tell you, you know, I'm sure you already know them. But in the context, you know, might just help you see something. It says, but without faith, is it possible for a righteous person to be without faith? Beware of your answer. Beware. It's impossible to please him, to please God. Well, it's not written that the Lord does not love the one who doesn't have faith or exercises faith. No, it has nothing to do with the love of God. With or without, the Lord says before, we were saved when we were still a sinner, when we were not even on this planet Earth, he decided to love us. So it's not about being loved or not loved by God. We heard that when our brother from South Africa said, you know, the major thing is not to know how much you love God, but how much God loves us. That's a major thing. But it says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. And, you know, one thing is that God is not hard to please. Sometimes, you know, our perception of God is like, you know, I laugh because I was going to say, ooh la la. And I heard that Chris told me that they planted another plant in their garden, a clematite. That's the word? Clematite? Yeah. And they called it ooh la la. I'm telling you. French, we pop in your garden every... The ooh la la plant. But God is not hard. God did not make it hard for us to please him. You have to think that God is a father. He's not a boss, an employer. He does have leadership on him, quite obviously. The Bible says he's even a judge. Right, he's also a father. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. So yes, we must believe that he exists. He is. He exists. And then when we come to God, it means that we come to him for who he is. So who is God for you? Is he the healer? Then when you need healing, you go to God because you believe he is the healer. Do you believe that he is your the one who fixes your finances? He has all the resources. If you know who he is, then you come to God, you go to God before the Lord for who he is. Exactly that. Do you need to be loved? Then you know that God is love. You go before the Lord. You approach God for who you know he is. And the Bible says that we come to God, we must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder. He is the rewarder. You will get what you went before the Lord to ask him, you will get it. If you know who he is, you will. So we know that, of course, faith is built on a relationship. And believe me, when you please God, you cannot ignore it. Because the Bible says he's a rewarder. So when you please God, not love, please. When you please God, you know it. Because you see the reward of your faith. This is huge. Why does it please him? What does he please him? You'll fix my grammar, yes. But why does it please him when we approach him and say, I know who you are. I know you are the forgiver. And I need to be, you know, freed from that conscience of sin. So I'm coming to you, Lord, and the reward is what? The reward is you get your conscience cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And that pleases him, because what? There is more joy to give than to receive, and our faith allows God to give us. And give us, and give us, and give us, and give us, and give us the nation as our inheritance, and give us our healing, and give us wisdom when we prayed in tongues, and give us, you know, all the equipment and finances and direction for the children, and give us, and give us, and that pleases God. Verse 3 of Hebrews 11. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. Aha. The worlds, you know, the worlds or the ages. Time was framed. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. Frame means to render fit. What do you need to be framed in your life? What do you need to be rendered fit? It means also sound. Anything that needs to be sound in your life. It means also, frame means to render fit, sound, complete, to repair, to restore, to mend, to equip, to put in order, to arrange. And the Bible says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were fit, render fit, sound, complete. So if you need something to be restored in your life, to put in order in your life, to be completed in your life, to be mended in your soul, to be equipped for your job or your church, whatever, it says it was by the word of God, so that things which are seen. We want these things to be seen. No use if they stay in the unseen. So that the things which are seen were made. They were made. They were made. The things that we are hoping, that we know that belong to us, they can be made. And that pleases God to make them for us. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It doesn't mean that things were made out of nothing. They were made by the word of God. Now, this verse, we can understand that, okay, the universe, everything was created by the word of God, and it's by faith that I understand that. We can understand that verse like that. Or we can also understand it, the world was made by the faith of God. And that is more correct. The world was equipped by the word. The world was completed by the word, by the faith of God, released through the word. By faith, the faith of God made everything. This is big. It says in 1 John 5:4, we are wondering, you know, we are encouraged to pray for revival. We are encouraged to ask the Lord, the nations, for our inheritance and the end of the earth for our possession. This is what we are asked. We are stirred up to pray in tongues, the mysteries of God. We are, the Lord wants his people to be healed. I believe it's possible for a whole church to be totally healthy, no sick among us. People come, you know, from the street, get in the church presence, and they get healed. I totally believe that. I'm looking for that word. And I'm preaching for that time. This is where my faith is. 1 John 5:4 said, for whatsoever is born of God, who is born of God here? Okay, overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith makes complete. Faith will frame the world. Faith will frame your world. With faith, we please God when he's able to make appear what was not existing, what was not seen to our eyes more correctly. But we did ask by faith. There is an overcoming when we use faith. There is a framing when we use faith. There is a living when we use faith. And in Europe, a lot of Christians live more by the government than by faith. And this, friends, it's got to change. The church is and must live by faith. There is the overcoming. There is the pleasing. There God loves it. Okay, now, you hear all that and some say, oh, la, 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 la. Clematite again, clematite. You know, they say, well, Pastor, I mean, you know, I agree. It's written. I cannot deny it. The Lord says we have to ask the nation. We have to ask for the revival and understand more about the revival now. He wants me to be healed, to be healthy. He wants me to prosper. He wants me to be a blessing to my world. But, I don't know if I can believe for all that. I can believe, you know, for my electricity bills to be paid for this month. I can believe for, you know, food in my plate. But for my generation, to have a revival, for, you know, a new car for my neighbor, not even for me. Faith doesn't stop at us. I don't know. Okay, well, let's talk then about faith. Let's talk about faith. There are two different kinds of faith, and that's what I want to really, you say, pinpoint, nail down. There are two kinds of faith. There is human faith. Everybody got it. Actually, we are so used to live with our human faith that we came here without human faith. We put the key in the car just with our human faith, expecting the car to work, especially the ladies. We cannot stand when it doesn't work. It's impossible. It's got to, you know, we don't care about the power, you know, of the engine or da-da-da, the size of the tires, la-la-la. But it's got to work. It's got to work. And our faith is there. And then we came here by faith. We came here, but we are so used, we don't even think about it. It's a life. In the natural, it's a life. We came here knowing that the doors will be open. We came here knowing that there would be people. We came here knowing that there would be speakers. We came here knowing that there would be chairs. And actually, our human faith is so, we operate in human faith so quickly that in no time we sat on the chair with full confidence. Isn't it right? Or it's only the French one that do that. We did it. Now, that human faith, again, everybody does it. You can, you know, we flew here, for those who did, and we got on the plane, didn't even think much. Well, of course, you know, you pray and, you know, you ask the blessing on the pilot and on the co-pilot, and yes. But, you know, basically, we quickly saw the aircraft, and we went in, we put our seatbelt, we sat, thank God, relax. We had faith we would arrive here. But, if I had seen a tire, does it work? Ah. I'm trying to make it, yeah. If I had seen the tire of the aircraft in that shape, my human faith would have not been able to take me to that plane and to have me come here. It would have been impossible. Because human faith, can I go back? Human faith only works according to what it sees. When we came here, we saw the chairs. When we came here, we saw, again, quickly, because we are used to using that faith. We saw quickly there was no spot on the chair. Think you go to a restaurant and your eye sees a spot, greasy spot on the chair. What do you do? Do you sit down? No. You have seen it and you have corresponding action. You pick up another chair. Our faith, our human faith, only works and is very limited by what our five senses are telling us. That's why, with my human faith, if I see a computer and the screen is totally broken, I have no faith that I can use that computer and make some research on internet. My human faith doesn't take me there. If I, for example, that car, if I see my car in the morning and for some reason the door has been broken, immediately I will question if that car can start. Human faith, everybody uses it. We have been trained to use it. Now, human faith, my arm was broken, my human faith could not say, use it. My human faith could not say, go, you know you have to fly to London, so get on that airplane and go ahead, be confident that it will take you. Human faith stops there because what it sees is saying, check. So obviously when the Lord is saying the just shall live by faith, it cannot be that human faith who have been trained to live by. It just cannot be. Because that human faith stops at what our five senses are saying. You know, if for example I smelling I'm in a restaurant and there is a bad smell on that food. My human faith cannot say, go ahead, eat. Because it depends on that smell. No. I'm not going to eat it. Well, Jesus said that if we drink some deadly drink, you know, we can still do it by faith. If we were in a situation where the water was yellowish, some missionary, that's the kind of, you know, situation they find themselves in. And they see the water and, you know, what do? Their human faith is saying, stop, 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 don't drink. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. By faith, we please God. By faith, you know, the world is framed, made fit, complete, sound. So there must be another kind of faith that is not limited by what our five senses are saying. Well, that's the divine kind of faith. Look with me in Mark chapter 11, and you know that verse. But how are we going to believe for a revival in our nations? It cannot be by our human faith. Because our human faith, you know, when we see few people in churches, when we hear, you know, people criticizing churches, mocking Jesus, our human faith is very limited by that. How are we going to pray for the healing of the people when we see somebody who is totally, you know, crushed, bumps everywhere, you know, suffering? How are we going to believe that the Lord has healed them? If we believe according to what we see with our human faith, we will not be praying, we will not be obeying, we will not be living by faith. So there is another kind of faith. Mark 11, verse 22-24. And Jesus answered, said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Woo, in the heart, not in the eyes, not what we are hearing, not we are touching, not we are what we are smelling, in the heart. Faith, real faith, there is another kind of faith that does not depend on the five senses. It's the faith of the heart. And that one shall not doubt in his heart, but believe. Believe what? What he sees? Believe what he smells? Believe what he hears? Believe what? In his heart. Not the senses, in his heart. Believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. Do you believe? You have what you say. I do. I take words so seriously because they frame. Words released by faith, they'll frame my world. They'll make it complete, equipped, sound, mended, repaired. What things whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Well, that's what we want to have, revival. We want to have the end of the earth as our possession. We want that healing. We want that material provision. We want to see an increase in our church. We want the best for the children. We want to have. And God is not bugged by the fact that we have. He wants us to have. He wants our life to be full, to be filled, but not with our human faith. Our human faith will not take us to our destiny in God. It cannot. It's not made for that. But we use it every time. I can see all the time people coming to for laying on of hands. And they use their human faith. The Bible says here, have faith in God. Okay, well, yes, but. Okay, in God like, well, you know, in omnipotent God, the God that can do everything, yes. Have faith in omnipresent God. Yeah. Have faith in a healing God. Yes, we understand that. Okay, now, for example, Kenneth Hagin has been ultra criticized for saying, you know, it's not just faith in God, it's the Greek says, is the faith of God. The kind of faith that God has, that does not operate as a human faith. It doesn't believe what it sees, but it believes to see. When it says the just shall live by faith, it's not talking about a human faith. It's talking about the faith of God. That faith that speaks what is invisible to make it appear. That's the kind of faith that we are to live by. Not by our human faith we are going to ask for a revival. But with the faith of God, we can ask for a revival. And we will get it, friends. We'll get it, and it will please God. Charles S. Price, he died in 1947, a healing evangelist in the early part of the 20th century, made this statement on Mark 11:22. Are you there? Now here is that sentence in the order, speaking of have faith in God. He says, that sentence in the order which the words appear in my Greek New Testament. As you probably know, the structure of Greek sentences is different from that of our English sentences. Not for our French. Sorry about that. That's why my English is what it is. Is that when you finish your sentence, I have to start with the end of your sentence. And this is coming from the Greek. Because we have Greek and Latin in our French. But hey, this is not the point. He says, here's the word-for-word translation from the original Greek. You want to know that? And answering, Jesus said to them, have you faith of God? Have you faith of God? Then the master went on to tell them that if they had such a faith, not only could they dry up a fig tree, but they could command a mountain to be cast into the sea. The lesson was that of the irresistible power of the faith, that was the faith of God. Not the faith that says, I believe it because I see. That's human faith. We believe we could sit on these chairs because we saw quickly the five senses gave information to our brain, and our brain says to the whole body, go ahead, you can sit safely. Among our Wesleyan Holiness friends, some of the higher life advocates believe that Mark 11:22 should be translated as the faith of God. And that's what F.B. Meyer, who was a prolific writer and a popular speaker, also believed. Albert Benjamin Simpson, you heard about Simpson? He said, Jesus does not say to you, have great faith in yourself. But he does say, have the faith of God. God's faith is all sufficient and you can have it and use it. Lillian Yeoman said, but someone asked, is it possible to consider not your own body when it so unpleasantly, even painfully, obtrudes itself upon your notice? Yes, it's glorious possible, for the God of Abraham is our God, as we unflinchingly take our stand on the naked promise, there springs up within us the faith of God, which makes walking on the water a delight and swinging out over the aching void with nothing beneath us but his word, heavenly bliss. In the original Bible, the Geneva of 1599, so we went the Greek, 1599, in the Geneva Bible, Mark 11:22 say, the faith of God. In the French version of the Geneva Bible of 1669, that was used by the Reformed, that was used by the Huguenots that were so persecuted. Why were they so persecuted? Because they had a kind of faith they were living by. And that was the faith of God. In that version, it says the faith of God. And Calvin used that. Divine faith. Divine faith operates independently of our five senses. Even contrary to our five senses. It can't believe what it doesn't see. We never saw heaven. We believe. We never saw hell. We believe there is a hell. We believe we have been saved. The faith of God, that makes a difference. Yes, of course, friends, we have faith in God. But better than that, we have the faith of God. And I'm telling you, French understand the difference of such a little word, in God, of God. We have a cheese in France. I know that will bless you. We have one kind of cheese per day. Lots of cheeses. You say it in plural? Cheeses? Cheeses? Now we do. All right. You know, this, especially on the, you heard the camembert. Yeah, some know. No, okay, let me say that again. Have you heard about the camembert? You did? All right. Camembert. You know, there is a trick when you go and you want to buy that cheese. Why? Because on some boxes is written made of Normandy. That's where it's come from. On some other boxes, you know, where the camembert is, it's made in Normandy. You say, Panama. You know, I have the word made, I have the one Normandy, who cares about, of, from, in, I mean, you know, camembert is camembert. Well, it's not camembert. It's not too French. It's very serious. Cheese, we don't tease with cheese. Why? Easy. De Normandie is a camembert that is made according to tradition. That's the real one. And for the tourist and the foreigner, it's en Normandie. What's the difference? It's just industrial. It's like a sponge. It means nothing, no tasty, nothing. Not even the recipe is good. So, you say there is a big difference. Faith in God, faith of God. Yes, yes, sir. You can, it means that you can, as a Christian, have faith in God, operating with your natural faith as far as believing. Yes, you have faith in God. You know that God exists. You know that God has all these promises. You may be an expert in quoting verses about the promises that He has made to you. But the promises, you will not get them by your natural faith that depends only on what it sees, on what you see, hear, taste, five senses, hear. Today, you know, God has told some Christian businessmen, I want you to have a multinational, sometimes I make some efforts to try to put English accent on a word that you could use if I say in French, on an international business. You got that one? The Lord told some Christian, I want you to have an international business. Okay, because I'm a Christian. I believe in God. I believe I heard from God. But they keep hearing their father, their mother say, you're lousy. Since they were a child, you're lousy, you're no good. You'll never amount to anything. And that natural faith, they believe what they heard. Now they know that if there is another kind of faith, the God kind of faith, the faith of God that can believe what he doesn't see, that can believe what he doesn't hear, or hear from God, but not in the natural, then they can say. And you know what? That kind of faith, listen to me, is God's kind of faith, is emotionless. It means you coldly believe what you don't see. You believe something contrary to what you heard when you were a child. Because you have the God kind of faith. And you don't need goosebumps for that. You don't need a shaking when you come for a laying on of hands for your healing. Some people think that they are going to help God if they shake. Maybe not here, but in France we have some like that. And they think, you know, but this is human faith. You've got to touch, you've got to see, you've got to feel. You've got nothing to do with the God kind of faith. With the God kind of faith, we can get anything He told us we could get, and that was ours. We can get it. No emotion. But when we receive it, there the emotion, there the joy, there the goosebumps, there the ooh-la-la, there the hallelujah, as our brother was saying during the offering. Romans 3:3. Are you with me? Don't go to sleep now. You can sleep, you know, you can put your nose on your plate if you want to a little bit later on. Romans 3:3. What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God? The faith of God. God has faith, and that kind of faith believes what he doesn't see, but will speak it into existence and make it appear. And we are called children of God. So the Bible said that it's not because some didn't believe that, you know, that is going to affect, impact, diminish the faith of God. No. He says, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? No. But some Christian, you know, when there is an answer of prayer that has not come, what they do? They look at a sad case in the church or in their family and say, see, they neither did not receive. they neither didn't get healed. The Bible says what kind of faith? Because the faith of God is not impacted by the failure of human faith. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. The faith of Jesus Christ. Romans 12, 3. Ah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Or shall we stop here and I come back tomorrow? I will come back tomorrow. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you. Do we have anybody among us today? Huh? Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man. God has dealt. God has dealt. God has given. God has given. God has given. God has dealt. What? A measure of faith. Amen? No.
No.
See? Some already their nose in the soup. No? This is not what is written. Has dealt to every man the. Some can say the and they say the measure of faith. Without spitting in your neighbor's face, tell him, her, the mother of faith. Beware. All right. Okay, it seems that we've got something of God here that is very precise. To every man, to every believer, of course, the measure of faith. A version says, in accordance with the faith, this is not working, in accordance with the faith of God, with the faith God has distributed to each one of you. We all got a measure of what? Of the faith of God. We are equipped to live on this earth and we all have human faith. We are not supposed to live by our human faith. Right. We are supposed to live by what we don't see, what we don't hear in the natural, by even something we touch, like something that is painful. We are supposed to overcome it. It means nothing can prevent us from doing the will of God. Nothing can prevent us from getting the nation saved. Nothing can prevent us from having a revival. Nothing can prevent us from being healed. Nothing, because we have the measure of faith of God. That's the thing. The measure of faith of God. Well, you know, if you're my guest and I make a beautiful French meal. If I use a ladder, you say, ladder, you got it, a spoon. That was a British who said it. It's not a French. We serve bigger. No, no kidding. Well, and I give you, you know, some wonderful soup. I put three of that serving in your plate. We got the measure. We got it. So yes, we have on human faith, but we already have a measure of the faith of God that is qualified as the measure. You say, okay. The measure means we all have the same. You say, what's the measure of faith? Well, do you remember that Jesus said, you shall do the works that I do also? It means we have the same measure than Jesus. We have it. It's not a matter of having it or not having it. We have it. But we must use it instead of our human faith. Same measure. Galatians 5, 22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit, so what is in our makeup, in our spirit, in our build-up, in our spiritual DNA, the fruit of the Spirit is love. The God kind of love is already there. We understand there is a God kind of life. We understand there is a God kind of love. There is a God kind of joy, God kind of peace, God kind of long-suffering, God kind of gentleness, goodness, and the other word is faith. In some other translation is faithfulness, which, you know, is the same word. Why? Because faith is leaning on the faithfulness of God, which means that we trust God with the God kind of faith. We do not question his integrity. And that pleases him. That pleases him. That measure of faith, Galatians 2:20, is the same as Paul. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Do you think with that Paul lived with the human faith? I mean, he went through shipwright. He got robbed, he got stoned, he got left for dead. Which kind of faith can put you back up on your feet? I mean, you know, not only that, but the Bible said that when he was left for dead, you know, the disciples surrounded him. Obviously, they used that kind of faith. He got up, and what did he do? He went back to the city. I mean, most of the Christians would say, okay, you know, leave that. You can all go to hell. I don't care. I'm just, you know, pursuing my life here. No. He went back. I mean, that kind of faith will make you do weird things. But he says, maybe you can stay there and help me. He said, I'm crucified with Christ, Paul. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the, qua, what? Ah, now we know why Paul did what he did. He said, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Here we go with the love we heard yesterday. And gave himself for me. A French version says the same thing, no big deal. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4:13 in English. Since we have the same spirit of faith, voila. Since we have the same, some people say, I don't have enough faith. No, are you talking about the natural faith? You're right, but who cares about that one? The faith of God, we talk. Now you do have it. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believe what? I believe with that measure of faith. I believe, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak. Another translation said, but we continue to preach because we have the same kind. We have the same kind of faith. Okay, I see there is joy in the place. You're thrilled, okay? Let's keep on. We have the same faith. We have the measure of faith of Jesus. We have the same faith than Paul, who, you know, that faith brought him to the end of his race, and he said, I kept the faith, general doctrine. He did not compromise the doctrine. He didn't lower the standard. He didn't remove some verses from the Bible just to fit these circumstances. You know, he didn't do that, but he said, not only I kept the message intact, and then he said, I finished my course with joy. With that kind of faith, we will finish our course. With that kind of faith, we will do it with joy. Why? Because it pleased God that we used his faith and we were blessed, blessed, blessed. We saw our dreams come true. Welcome to Tree of Life Church Network. And that kind of faith pleases him. That kind of faith will allow him to bring upon us his rewards. And with joy, it will take us to our destiny. 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Precious faith, you know, the same price of ours. Yes, we have the faith that was bought with a price, and the price were the same. Yes, that's true. But the Greek is that will bless you, isotomos, isotimos, which means the faith of equal value or honor, to be esteemed equal to. It was that faith that Paul used to raise Dorcas from the dead. It was that, Peter, it was that faith that Peter used to heal the people with a shadow. That faith. So what are we doing with our faith? What are we doing with that kind of faith? Are we using it, or are we switching to natural faith that takes us nowhere, that doesn't, you know, cannot help us fulfill our destiny in Christ? I was very often we pray for the sick at church, or we go with the gift of the Spirit, or, you know, some Christian, they are under heavy addiction of some kind. And they are totally tormented and tormented and tormented, and they wonder why they can't get out. Why I'm still in the same you know why? Because they are trying to experience freedom with their human faith. I don't see a change in the mirror. I don't hear my doctor saying something. My body is still responding the way to sin. Use the faith of God. And you won't depend on what you feel, what you can touch, what you can see, what you can hear, what you can smell. That faith will make you heal the sick with your shadow. That faith will make you buy a car. Now, I know there is a balance to that, you know. But it will make you believe for the money to buy the car when you have zero on your bank account. We don't live by our bank account. We live by faith. By the kind of faith that God has. That Paul used, Peter used, Jesus used as a demonstration. And that is overcoming faith. There is no reason why we shouldn't, you know, fulfill our race in God. No reason. No reason. God has given us everything we need for that. So we were praying for the sick, and one of my leader, he came forward and he had something in his shoulder and something else, I don't remember. So he came and I lay hands on him and pray, and voila. Then I thought, okay, no, I know, it's not fixed yet. So I called him. I said, hey, I'm checking. I want to hear from you. Are you healed? And he said, well, you know what? For a week I've not. And he said, I can't believe I fell in the trap. He was consulting with pain to know if he was healed. You do not consult with pain. You do not ask pain its opinion to check if you're healed. You check the truth. You go to the truth, and then you say what the truth says about you. And he got it. I mean, he stopped in the middle of his sentence. He said, he was checking. He said, oh, actually, for a week. He said, I can't believe you did it. And he said, I got it. So when you guys come for laying on the hands and, you know, you want prayer, or just make sure you come with your God kind of faith, turn up. You come with that one, and you don't check with pain. And you don't, you know, you don't look for emotions. You don't look, you know, at what you see, don't see. When it's done, you said, because of that point of contact, that's when I release my God kind of faith. And now I say exactly what the Lord says. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have received that God kind of faith. We believe, Father God. We help us release it. Help us, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you that we please you. And we have fun with you, just receiving the rewards, receiving the answers from you. And we rejoice. Our future is bright. We are a blessing to our nations. We lift up the name of Jesus and bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, Pastor.
Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that just great news to know you've got the faith of God inside you? You know, I was taught against that at Bible school. They gave us letters, you cannot believe this. Trying to disarm us before we even got into ministry. You know, and I'm so glad that I've, you know, academic learning is not necessary to read. You know that, you don't need to go to university to learn how to read. But I've done 4 years of biblical Greek. I have a master's in biblical Greek. And you have to deliberately misread the Greek to translate that verse, have faith in God. It says, have faith of God. Have the faith that God has the faith that comes from God. And so it's, for those of you who love language, it's called the simple genitive. For those of you who don't, it's still called the simple genitive. Awesome. Right, what we're going to do is we're going to start, Robert's